Welcome to WTBU News Today. I'm Sebastian Jaramillo. Boston had some pleasant weather yesterday with a mostly sunny day and a low of 57 degrees. Today, the good weather will continue with a mostly sunny day and a high of 77 with a low of 63. The rest of the week will be partly cloudy, albeit with some high temperatures, which will result in a high of 80 on Tuesday. However, the week will begin to succumb to the incoming winter as temperatures will drop sharply on Thursday and keep declining until Sunday, which will have a high of 62 and low of 49. Winter, here we come. Now we'll move into the Boston University COVID-19 dashboard update. On Thursday, September 24th, two members of the Boston University community tested positive for COVID-19. One of them was a student and the other an employee. On average, BU's lab took 23 hours to process each test, which is lower than their goal of 24 hours and in keeping with their recent trend of staying close to their goal. Last week, there was a span of 3 days with no positive tests, which marks a record for the longest period of days without a positive test since the beginning of the fall semester. The number of tests per day has steadied to an average of a little more than 3,000, which makes sense as the fall semester reaches its first month. In total, 115 members of the BU community have tested positive this fall. 15 students are currently in isolation, and 74 students have recovered from the disease. Elaine Backus is here now with an update on the latest COVID-19 compliance report.
The latest COVID-19 compliance report released Friday announced that two students, dubbed Romeo and Juliet, have been banned from campus for the rest of the semester. The two students violated quarantine to meet each other and were reported. There are five other students who are one warning away from being banned from campus as well. This week, 12,159 warnings were issued to students who missed their daily attestation, an increase of about 4,500 from last week. 614 warnings were issued to students who missed or failed to schedule their COVID-19 test, which is double the amount reported last week. There have been 10 reports of students failing to pull up their masks when asked, and 4 reports of students not social distancing in public. There have also been 3 reported guest violations and 2 reports of on-campus gatherings without masks. Although no students have been disciplined, there have been 18 reports of off-campus gatherings without masks. These gatherings have previously resulted in disciplinary action. Last week, 19 students were disciplined. With the exception of the number of students disciplined, all non-compliance numbers have either increased or stayed the same as last week's report. Despite this increase in non-compliance, Dean Elmore says that he is pleased with how the overall BU community is complying with the guidelines. In Hingham, Massachusetts, this is Elaine Backus for WTBU News.
Joining us now is Melissa Ellen with a story on a soldier's home amid the pandemic.
After an investigation and backlash from the community, the superintendent and the medical director of the Holyoke Soldiers Home are being charged with criminal neglect. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit, the Soldiers Home saw a large outbreak of the virus within its residents, resulting in the deaths of dozens of faculty and veterans. The charges were confirmed Friday morning by Attorney General Maura Healey after being placed Thursday during a hearing. Superintendent Bennett Walsh and medical director at the time, David Clinton, each face 5 counts for 2 charges, having to do with negligence of patient care and the act of committing and or permitting harm to come to patients. Healy's investigation, led by Mark Perstein, cited the incidents which took place at Holyoke as, quote, baffling and catastrophic, unquote. The U.S. Attorney's Office also has an active investigation into the Veterans Center. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Melissa Ellen for WTBU News.
And now we'll head over to Sophie Jin for an update on injured protesters during a Black Lives Matter protest.
One protester was injured after a pickup truck drove through a large crowd on Hollywood Sunset Boulevard late Thursday during a Black Lives Matter protest. According to the LAPD, a blue pickup truck drove through a group of protesters around 9 p.m. The truck then drove away down Sunset Boulevard. One protester was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Police identified the driver of the pickup truck, but has not yet been taken into custody. These incidents come as protesters continue to flood the streets in the name of Breonna Taylor, after news broke Wednesday that only one officer in connection with her death was charged with the crime. Former officer Brett Hackinson was charged for firing blindly into Taylor's apartment building by Louisville authorities. The two other officers involved were not charged. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Sophie Jin for WTBU News.
Next, a story regarding the importance of the Catholic vote for the upcoming presidential election. Both President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are courting the Catholic vote ahead of the election, albeit in different ways. According to the New York Times, over the past elections, most white Catholics voted Republican and most Latino Catholics voted for the Democrats. In this election, both Trump and Biden are targeting conservative Latinos in key swing states such as Florida and Arizona, trying to sway the trends from recent years in their favor in order to win those needed key states. A voter in Michigan, another key state, told the Times that she supports Biden because of how he speaks about his faith and how he has leaned on his faith in times of personal tragedy. On the other hand, Nathan Sullivan, a 29-year-old Catholic voter from Arizona, said he plans to vote enthusiastically for President Trump due to his record on issues like abortion. He did not mind that President Trump mostly spoke about religion for political purposes, he said, but rather cared about results. According to Robert P. Jones, the chief executive of the Public Religion Research Institute, the group which Trump should be more worried about losing are white Catholics rather than white evangelicals. He said Catholics are swing voters due to the whole wide range of social and economic issues that the church teaches, which do not skew strongly for either the Republican or Democratic Party. Finally, an update from Aaron Michael on a recent knife attack in Paris, France.
On Friday, two people were injured in a knife attack near the former offices of the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. The two victims are severely injured, however, their lives are not in danger. Shortly after the attack, a suspect was arrested near Place de la Bastille in Paris's 11th district. Both suspects are currently in custody. French media said the main perpetrator is from Pakistan and the second arrested is from Algeria. The victims are employees of the French documentary production company Première Ligne, and they were attacked while taking a cigarette break. French Prime Minister Jean Castex said the stabbing took place in a, quote, symbolic place, end quote, taking into account the ongoing investigation about the 2015 terrorist attack at the Charlie Hebdo offices, carried out by two jihadists. The attack at Charlie Hebdo offices was followed 2 days later with an attack at a kosher supermarket. In total, 17 people died in the 2015 attacks. In Rochester, New York, I'm Aaron Michael for WTBU News.
That's it for this edition of WTBU News Today. Be sure to tune in to our full program every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time over on WTBU Radio. On behalf of Gabriela Lopez, Evan Jimenez, Alex Corey, Grace Ferguson, and Stella Lawrence, I'm Sebastian Jaramillo, reporting from Miami, Florida, for WTBU News.